Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. The Berkshire Cultural Resource Center at Massachusetts College of Liberal Arts will bring Dan Frewd and Company's presentation of Pang to the college this week through Friday, November 1st. Pang is an adventurous 90-minute triptych of live radio plays performed for theater audiences and based on oral histories of three families from around the country who are facing the challenges of contemporary life in America. You know, hunger, gun violence, foreclosure, anti-immigrant bias. They do this with love, humor, and intelligence. The piece aims to raise awareness, decrease stigma, and promote cross-class dialogue around circumstances faced by families living below the poverty line. The plays are produced, written, and directed by Dan Frewd in collaboration with the ensemble. Natalie Cumanis. Hello, Natalie.
Hi.
How are you?
Natalie Cumanis.
Cumanis.
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Like communion. Okay. And Christopher Rivas?
Yes, sir.
All right. Did I get it right?
You did.
All right. And Dan?
Yes, indeed.
How are you?
I'm just fine. Thanks. How are you?
It's wonderful to see you all. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Dan, let us begin with you. How did this all come about?
Well, we began about 5 years ago working to tell stories of people who are living with food insecurity in Los Angeles, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and Miami, Florida. And we did book-length oral histories with families in each location. And working closely with them, we drew out some of their narratives and themes from those oral histories into theatrical form.
How hard is that to do?
You know what? I was about to say it was very hard, but I'm going to say it is very hard because every step along the way, especially when we bring the work to different communities, we find that there are new issues for us to confront within the work and within the community and the way that the work relates to the community.
So give us an example of that.
Okay. I think that, for instance, one of the things we try to do with the work is to foster dialogue right there in the theater. And we have what we call the kitchen table, which is actually a kitchen table on stage with five or six audience members.
We call this the round table, but we don't have a real round table. So you actually call it the kitchen table, and it's a kitchen table.
Yes, and it's not round.
And what do you do around that kitchen table?
Well, members of the community who were in the audience, we are asked to come up and sit at the table and while we're performing, they're sitting at that table on stage, sort of holding that space for the community. And at some point, we exit the stage, and the people around the table, have a conversation about what they've just seen and what it means to their community and to them. And that's amplified for the whole audience to hear.
That seems risky.
It is risky. Thank you for saying that. And we have been trying to figure out what is the right format and the right way to invite people. And we want it to be risky, but what is the way to be able to do it respectfully and in a way that people feel safe?
So the big fear for me, if I were you, would be, well, they're not going to talk.
That hasn't happened, but yes, we try to prime people, you know, asking them, are you okay? Do you feel like you will have something to say? There are three short plays. We get a chance to speak with them in these little interstitial moments between each of the plays, quietly, without anybody else hearing. So we get to prime them a little bit.
Natalie, what's it like to be a part of this?
It's a fascinating experience. And I feel like I will say in response to that, I know that the fear is that people won't talk.
Yeah.
And I do think that sometimes there's silence. And I think allowing that silence to exist in the space is okay. People are we've just thrown at them these immensely emotional, real stories. And I think that people just need a second to, some people are crying sometimes, some people just need to breathe. And so like that moment is important because we're not in a hurry. We're here with you to build community. So yes, it's a performance, but more than that, we're wanting to engage with the community that we are in at that moment.
So what do you hope to accomplish? And Christopher, feel free to jump in on this. But what do you hope that they accomplish in that time together?
I think we've heard some beautiful stories about, and some that we're not always privy to because we can't see. We're not at the table, and that's okay. A woman shared with us that, you know, when she was in tears, you know, someone handed her a tissue under the table, or that a young man was excited because sometimes we have food like snacks, grapes on the table, and that he was eating a lot of them and got a little embarrassed. And so people noticed and started getting grapes and handing them to him like through the table. And like moments like that, moments of compassion and being together on something. And like that's so powerful that someone recognized shame and said, no, don't be ashamed. I've got you. So encouraging empathy in these small ways that just happen naturally, I think, is what we're.
I think another goal is we hope they realize, like all good art, maybe like all good radio, maybe like all good story, maybe like all good anything, you realize you're not in it alone. Mm-hmm. And you realize that you need the other person and that their happiness is kind of dependent on your happiness and their peace is dependent on your peace. And all of a sudden you see yourself in someone else's story, even though you don't live in Miami, even though you don't have a child who's been murdered, you know, even though you have food on your plate every day, you see yourself in those struggles. And that is a really powerful force on the planet, to be able to imagine yourself in another person's existence.
What is it? And I'm fascinated, I guess, why these three places were chosen, these three places. Mm-hmm.
Well, we knew we wanted geographically, culturally diverse places and felt like we had the capacity to do three locations. I worked primarily with arts organizations as partners. So when I was first sort of canvassing my network of arts presenters around the country, I really wanted to find the right constellation of locations. I knew Los Angeles was going to be one because that's where I live. And it ended up that there was a presenter in Miami and a presenter in Cedar Rapids who had particular issues in their community that they really wanted to address. And so felt like those communities were very, very different and were facing different issues. Different sets of circumstances, and so we ended up partnering with them.
When it comes to the actual issues, were they, did those come with those areas, or were you looking for things that really did have a universal quality to them?
I think every family's story is different, and we were prepared for every family's story to be different. I think, speaking for myself, what I wasn't prepared for was the idea that families who are living with food insecurity, that the food insecurity aspect of their lives is actually beneath the radar for them a lot of times. Yes, the SNAP payments run out halfway through the month. Yes, they have to eat frozen potatoes for part of the month. Parents skip meals so their kids can have food. But the other issues that they're facing, some of the ones that you mentioned at the top of the show, foreclosure, gun violence, immigrant bias, those are the issues that are urgent and pressing in their lives, and those are the stories they wanted to tell.
As I mentioned, the evening is part performance, part podcast, listening party, and part community dialogue. We've talked about the community dialogue, and I guess even the performance, but the podcast listening party. So how does all that come together?
Well,
walk us through the evening, I guess.
Okay. So, when you come, you'll be welcomed into the space. The Church Street Center is a decommissioned synagogue. It's a beautiful space. There's reception at 5:30. Everybody's welcome. There will be refreshments. There's an art exhibit. And when we perform sort of as if we're in a radio studio like where we are now, as if we're doing a live radio play. So we're not acting out the scenes or the plays. We're at mics very much like we are now, reading scripts. And we do some sound effects. We do some background music. So it's as if, that's another reason that the family is, the people are at the kitchen table, it's as if you're sitting listening to the radio. So it is a similar experience to a podcast, but you are there collectively with your community. We also do happen to have a podcast.
Okay. And that's sort of the larger goal, I assume, to open this up in the podcast to allow that conversation to go beyond the walls of this performance space.
Exactly. So the way the podcast season is constructed, we do one of the plays, let's say the Los Angeles play, and then we do the next episode is a think piece about the Los Angeles play, helping to make connections between the issues that the Los Angeles family are facing, which happen to be foreclosure, with food insecurity, which is mostly unspoken in the play itself.
Natalie, how long have you been a part of doing this kind of thing?
I've been a part of PANG for almost 3 years now.
Mm-hmm. And you bring this around the country? Is that how this works?
Yeah, we've toured it. The first tour, we started in Los Angeles, and we performed in Cedar Rapids and also in Miami.
So okay, the three places.
Yeah, for the families and their communities. So now this is a tour where we've taken it to universities, and now we're here with MCLA. And that's been a really great experience, getting to interact with students who are really actively thinking through these problems and trying to find elegant solutions for them.
Yeah. Are there elegant solutions?
I think we're starting to think in a different way about the problems. Like, you can't just tackle food insecurity and think we have to feed hungry people, because it's not about that. It's not about that at all. It's about access, and it's about privilege, and it's about education about healthy foods and what is going to make your brain work to its full capacity. It's you know, so much more than just food on the plate.
Christopher, how long have you been a part of this?
Feels like my whole life, a long time. over 3 years, right?
Yes.
Yeah, a while.
Me
and yeah.
And what do you learn in the process? And what do you learn about sort of collectively what we're going through right now through that process?
Patience, listening, asking bigger questions, knowing that you don't have any answers, but you have the ability to continue to ask bigger questions that hopefully you can live yourself into an answer. There's a beautiful thing about this project that what people are going to come see this weekend will probably be a different show next weekend, and was definitely a different show in Connecticut, and was definitely a different show than last year. Our ability to continue the conversation and to live inside of the piece so that it's always evolving is so special, and I think people feel that when they come, they feel how alive it is. We haven't set a script. Mm-hmm. We're not settling because we don't have answers.
Right.
Yeah.
I want to say that Natalie and Chris and especially a third cast member named Donna Simone Johnson have been a big part of composing this work. So it's been really an ensemble effort and a devised script, really.
So this all leads up to Friday, November 1st in the CSC Auditorium, correct? The full performance?
Yes.
But you're going to be around a week. And what will you be doing through the rest of the week?
So
leading up to Friday.
We'll be in the community. We'll be having lunch with the folks at the Berkshire Food Project. We'll be working with students at MCLA. They'll be creating art with the guests at the Berkshire Food Project, and we'll be part of that. There's a soup recipe exchange that we'll be part of. We're working with, I think it's Northern Berkshire County. I'm not going to get the name of the organization correctly, but
I'd help you out if I had it, but I don't. I'm sorry.
That's quite all right. But they have a bunch of different activities in neighborhoods, and we'll be joining them on those.
Excellent. Well, the main event is held on Friday, November 1st at 7:00 in the CSC Auditorium, a full performance of PANG Unplugged, and it's going to be fascinating. It starts at 5:30. And then leading up to the performance at 7, right?
Right. 5:30 is the pre-reception, and the performance is at 7. And we're grateful to MCLA for presenting this work.
So if you go to mcla.edu, you can find out information. Do you have a website, too?
We do, pangpodcast.com.
pengpodcast.com or mcla.edu to find out more information.
Find us on iTunes and Spotify.
Stitcher,
Google everywhere Play. You get your podcast. Mm-hmm. Just type in P-A-N-G and you'll find it.
Pang. Excellent. Christopher, Natalie, and Dan, thank you so much. Have a beautiful week in the Berkshires and a wonderful time on Friday night. Thank you so much. Wonderful having you here. Again, you can find out more by going to our website as well. We'll have the links on our site, wamc.org/roundtable. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.